by the Spirit that whom you have put within us because of Jesus our Savior, that we will not leave as we came, but rather in your fullness, understand in your word. Receive the joy that you have put within us that makes us sing back to you. Delight in it, O Father. We know it's not perfect because we are necessarily human. And what human being can stand to your holiness? No. But you who work in us to will, and you who work in us to do to your pleasure, receive that which it has pleased you that we bring. What is unworthy that we may have brought today out of ignorance, disobedience, or just pure humanity, by the mercies that you preordained in Christ, forgive us. The work you have started, you are more than able to complete it in each one of us. We turn the service over to you, if ever it was in our hands, and we ask that you glorify yourself in Jesus' name. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. The children are excused. Who can remind us of what we've been talking about in the last few weeks? What's the theme? That our Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We took the time to point out that not men. We pointed out that the head of the church is not us as human beings. As precious as we are in this relationship, because it has pleased the Lord to make us the head of all things that he has created. But we must never forget that this whole story of heaven and earth is not about man, right? If the Lord left the animals alone, the lions will deal with each and every one of us. But for him, he has made us to have dominion. The Bible says everything he created for his own pleasure. And the last time we talked about it, we also wanted to remind us that pastors, geos, men, gifted men cannot replace Jesus. In fact, we went to different scriptures to show us that it is not the plan of God that he himself will be replaced by either a pope or even any of the apostles, as big and anointed as they were, that we must always be conscious to know that no one can take the place of Jesus. We have seen too many people put their faith in men, and the arm of flesh has always what? Failed us. We dare not trust in flesh. We must make sure. We went through some of the things we have in church. Miraculously, that clock is not working. No. I see 3:55, not 30. And we said, I thought you were counting down from 30. With all of the IT in that. Okay. All right. If you count up and I don't stop at 45, you know the reason, though. Because when I see 00, I will know my time is up, but it's your fault. Anyway, we went through our songs. We examined our teachings, the sermons, and we said it's reflective. If you look carefully, there seem to be less and less of Jesus and more of a general godliness of morals, of good intentions. But whereas the embodiment of all things Christian is Jesus. In fact, the number one message of Jesus himself was, what was the number one topic of preaching for Jesus himself? Jesus. Jesus was the number one topic. He preached himself, and the apostles told us that to the Corinthians, that when I came to you, I was very careful that I did not choose any other topic except Jesus and his cross. He said it was deliberate. And then we didn't do the experiment, but I challenged us to do an experiment, to look into the New Testament and open any page and see whether you can read through the two pages without seeing powerful, almost pointed references to Jesus, if not by name, by pronoun, him. Every message in Christianity is about Jesus. And then I said something also very scary to those, except thank God we went to scriptures. I said, do you know that Christianity also, there's no such thing as a dispensation of the Holy Spirit? And that's where blasphemy. Blasphemy. And then we went to the 16th chapter of the book of John. And who is the best person to teach us about the Holy Spirit? Who? Jesus himself. And we heard the Lord Jesus say something about the Holy Spirit that was shocking, almost blasphemous, if you didn't know the mind of God. What was that? Who can remind me? Imagine Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, the Spirit will not even speak about the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit, Holy Spirit does not speak about the Holy Spirit. I think that's verse 33, right? Or 13. He said he only speaks about. Jesus said, I'm going to pray my Father, and my Father will send you the Holy Spirit. And that's the best thing that would have happened to you. In fact, it's better than me being with you. He said, but let me tell you how you will know that this is the Holy Spirit. He said, when that Spirit had come, he will not speak about himself. He said, whatever he hears from me, he will bring you in remembrance the things that I've told you. He will glorify me. And I said, whoa, whoa. Even the Holy Spirit does not write a book about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit inspires a book, that book is about who? Then I asked you, am I lying or am I reading that verse wrong? And nobody could tell me that I was lying. So I knew I was saying the truth. Yet not I, but the word of God that we were reading. Which further emphasized it. And then we went to Isaiah about the promises of the prophet. So many places in Isaiah. When we go to Isaiah 7:14, it tells us how a virgin will conceive and be with child. When we go to 9, you were reciting 9 this morning, Sister Kemi, it tells us about who this Jesus will be. And then we discover that no wonder this Jesus is not popular. Because the Jesus of the Bible hardly ever looks like the Jesus in recent years that we've been hearing. There's no comeliness. He wasn't a handsome, comely person. If he really liked it, it wouldn't be about the nice wristwatch. He said there's no comeliness around him. There's nothing about him that we will naturally want to follow him. He was a man of what? I'm familiar with. Then I think I asked that. Did we really think about this? It means if you were to see the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not likely going to be the charming, joking, what do you call it? It's not likely going to be my pastor has a great sense of humor. There's going to be some gravity about him. So, and no wonder, have you ever carried a cross on your back? It's very, you cannot be comedic carrying a cross or the burdens of the world on your shoulders. Saving miserable sinner, my sin alone will cause the Lord Jesus Christ to grieve. Now combine my sin with Brother Segun's sin. Then add the sin of the rest of the world. This is serious business, and that's why we worship the Lord and we bless him. I've met many people, no one loves us like Jesus loves us. And I wish that the Lord will reveal his word. Because the intention of the Almighty God is that the grace and the beauty, the Bible says that in Christ's life, that light is the light of him, of men. That in Moses we got the law, but in Christ we found grace and truth. I read a proverb that said that from a father we can have inheritance and riches, but a good spouse is from the Lord, but only in Jesus is eternal life. The proverb didn't say that, I added it. So there are many good things that we can find the solution to our job problems, our life problems. The world finds this solution as well elsewhere. I read a wonderful in Nigerian Premium Times, I read a wonderful news about a man, a Muslim man that had almost a miraculous deliverance from kidney issues a complication from a bad medical surgery situation that I had. I had to be flown to Egypt. And I was reading it and I was touched by the many. We had Muslims coming to his aid, Christians coming to his aid. And I was thinking, if you remove the Muslim, this was a perfect Christian testimony. Because God shows his mercy to all. But only one set of people have found eternal life, where no more pain, no more sorrow. Only one, a finite percentage of human beings on earth, will reign eternally with Jesus. Only one set of people with their rewards only have started after this life. Only to one set of people has he has given the power to be called sons of God. Say, see what manner of love that the Father has given. And that's why we're here today. All these other attending problems, they will attend in one form or the other till we die, because this world is not in our home. It's not our home. I said it's not in our home. I believe it's in Philippians 3, Ephesians 3, that the Bible reminds us that our citizenship is not on of this earth, but it's in heaven, where we're waiting for the Lord Jesus to come. In 1 John, the writer of John tells us that we do not yet know what we shall be, but we know when Jesus comes, we will be as he. See what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto you and I, that you and I, of all the people, should be called what? Children of God. Through Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. The wonderful riches of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to tell it. We need to shout it from the mountaintop, because the world and the church is forgetting that Jesus loves us. La 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 la. Tells of his love. I am so glad that my Father in. Stop. I don't want us to fly by that next line. It says, wonderful things, and it's true. He will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory is a wonderful thing. Behold, I've overcome the world is a wonderful thing. But this is the dearest thing in the Bible. Okay, let's continue. This is the.
That Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
The world and the church is forgotten, is forgetting that Jesus loves us. I think one of the things that made this journey so hard is that out of in all our suffering and the challenges, we truly, truly forget. Thank you, Barashebo, that Jesus loves us. I don't think there's any greater message that Jesus, the beginning of this story is that Jesus loves you and I. The head of the church is your brother. Brother, sister, Kemi alluded to it this morning. And then she suddenly remembered, he's also our Lord. He's also our God. The King of Angels is my brother. In fact, whether you feel it or not, we are joint heirs with Jesus. The greatest thing in the Bible, I don't know, you may be suffering today. I'm also a sufferer in one capacity or the other. And there will be suffering on us. But Jesus loves you. I don't know, are you a believer here and you know and you feel? If you don't feel the love of God, I want you to know that he loves you. You are special. That's what the message, the good news is, that in Christ, God is demonstrating his love to all of us. Jesus loves me. That's why religion has not worked. You can organize them. You can put them together. You can do all of these things. If they do not know personally that they are loved by the Lord Jesus, who is there when the church is not there, when their mentors are not there, They can't stand. But show me a Christian who is secured. Paul said that you may, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, and being rooted and grounded in love, you may know together with all the saints, something that all of the saints knew. He said, this is something. This was something that Abraham knew. This was something they knew. That you may know the depth and the height and the width. And then you'll be filled with the fullness of God. Love. Do you know you're not just a member of the church? The head of the church knows your name. Salvation is personal at its best. The church, your family may be instruments to come to Jesus, but your faith must never depend. You must discover and know that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. As many as believe in him and as many as receive him, to those people, not to Muslims, to those who believe, who is the him there? To them, he has given the power to be called. Are you a son of God today? You have not come to join an organization. You have come to a person. That person is Jesus. That person is who I love. Like I was joking here the other day, I said, some of you pretty much annoy me. Sister Lola annoys me all the time, right? But we are family. Omotade annoys me. That's my younger brother's name all the time. But there's a bond, an Adeniyi bond. And there's a bond, a Jesus bond, that I wish we would strengthen. Because although blood is thicker than water, spirit is thicker than blood. The love of God. May the Lord help us to be filled with his love. What does 49 mean? 17. I'm 17 minutes into this sermon already. Okay, let's go to the scriptures. It's basic. Jesus loves us. Jesus is the head, and the head loves you. But Abumi is not the head. Oh, you better be grateful to God that he's not the head. If not, turning will come before you. He's the truth. He's just playing his role. Jesus, who is present, who is there when he cannot be there, when you are going through things that you can't even say to a human being, Jesus. Colossians chapter 2. Jesus is the head. I want to, there's an age, I think we have a responsibility to teach. And we have a responsibility not to teach in a vacuum. You know the war that is going on in Gaza right now. We have a responsibility as adults to lay forth the mind of God regarding things like that. I am not in the least interested in politics and the debates going on. Right? But if we don't have a collective understanding from God's word, Satan will fill the void. Right? And in this theme of Jesus the head, I want to emphasize something and let us know what the mind of Jesus is regarding divisions between people. Satan will do anything to take our attention away from Christ to politics, from Christ to issues. And then we'll start debating among ourselves the things that people who do not believe are debating among themselves. And we will. As long as we are not all looking into God's word to find out what the mind of God is, then it will be our own opinions of things. But may we, the Bible says that we are dead and our lives are hidden in Christ. We are no longer our own. So we must always set forth within ourselves what is the mind of God regarding any issue. And I hope once the mind of God is revealed, we stand with Jesus, because the wisdom of God, I don't like quoting that scripture, it seems, but Paul said that thing of God is greater than the wisdom of men. Are we ready for this? And this is just in line with Christ, the head of the church. If Christ is the head of the church, he gets to tell us our position on everything. So first, I want to read, let's read from Colossians 2. We're going to go to Galatians 3 and what the Lord feels about Jews, Greeks, Gentiles. You know, these divisions among people, right? Because he's the head of the church. Now, when I mentioned that Satan has done something in the pew, that topic, no, spirit is better, it's thicker than blood. Let's see what the mind of the Lord is. Now, this story starts longer than currently. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And the last thing we want is to grieve the spirit of the Lord. The apostle wrote about this. Let's start from Colossians and just set the foundation. We'll continue next week. I want you to know what great conflict I have. I'm reading from Colossians 2. For you who are in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen me in the flesh, face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to the riches of the fullness assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and Christ. You know, Paul has that writing method. He's so smart and brilliant that he has a lot of adjectives. And before you know, that's why people say that Romans is difficult to understand, or that Ephesians is difficult to understand. But you can just simplify it, okay? What essentially Paul is saying is this. I want your heart, verse 2. I want your heart to be knit together in love, okay? And when it's knit together in love, you are going to attain to what Paul describes as the full assurance of understanding and knowledge of what he called the mystery of God. And when he talks about God, he's saying, I'm saying God the Father and of this Jesus, whom we call the Christ, the Messiah, right? And he said, when your heart is so thus focused and you understand this mystery, in verse 3, the closing part of verse 3, he said, that is where the treasure of wisdom and knowledge is. Did I simplify? I just complicated it the more. I complicated it. Okay, I'm going to simplify it. He said, when your heart is full of Jesus, right, you are going to know the mystery of God. And it has all the treasures you need. Essentially, everything you need, treasures of wisdom and of knowledge, is in Jesus, our Savior. Not in topical studies, not in seminary expositions. If you are a Christian, and that's why you find out that those illiterate poor women in villages, they somehow happen to know more about Jesus than many professors of theology. Not because they knew all the topics, the root word, and whatever they call it. But they singularly know Jesus. You can describe him better than them. You can expand on him. You can preach on him better. But they know Jesus. And the little child will see that old woman with firewood and say, I've seen Jesus. But the same person, we see a reverend with PhD in theology with collar say, okay, thank you, sir. Yeah, thank you. If you are singularly focused on Jesus, all the treasures of wisdom and understanding will be yours. Which speaks to our topic today. We must know Jesus. When we see Jesus. And that's what this very educated apostle is talking about. Now, this I say, and I'm saying it because some people will come to deceive you with persuasive words. Do you understand? Mayo, do you understand? Please, if you don't understand something, just raise your hand. Let's say it again. And maybe someone in the audience will be able to say it in a simpler way. He said, I'm saying this. I made this point because some people will come with very persuasive words. Erudite. What's the right pronunciation? Erudite. And I don't want you to fall for it, says Paul the Apostle. I want you to focus on Jesus because you'll be wiser than your teachers. Amen. This is where you say amen. Okay, all right. For although I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in who? In Jesus again. So Paul says, although he's not present in New Covenant Church, in spirit he's with New Covenant Church. And he just loves how we're just trying to know Jesus better. I'm just reading the scriptures and interpreting it. He says, so be very careful in case anyone cheats you with philosophy, the love of knowledge, right? And empty deceit, which is really about the tradition of men, right? According to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. So forget all the adjectives again. What is Paul simply saying here? Auntie, what is Paul saying? You know it. You will. And you do. It's just the adjectives. You've been lost in this man's brilliance and adjectives. Let's go back there. He says, well, which one? Yeah, I knew we were behind. I did? Okay. Maybe the Holy Spirit wanted us to skip six. Let's go back. Let me see. I didn't plan to skip six. Go. Let's see what Satan wanted me to miss there. As you therefore are, no wonder Satan wanted me to miss it. Because that's very important. The way you got born again, that simple faith that broke your heart and made you repent. Remember how if you so much as drop your Bible on the floor, I don't know whether it happened to any of you, you will kneel down and ask for forgiveness. I don't know whether it ever happened to you. When there was no white lie with you, all lies were lies. When you could not sleep, when you knew you had sinned. When all you knew, you didn't know all of those Christian songs that them sisters Kemi were singing in the choir because you were just afraid. I was there. People like that used to amaze me. That could they, people will be reciting scriptures and I'll be wondering, how did these people get to know all of these scriptures? I don't know whether you've been there, but I had Jesus in my heart. He said, that way that you have received Jesus, remain in it. There's no higher knowledge than Jesus. The way, if someone comes to you, Paul said in another place, and preaches to you another gospel, he said that we have not preached. He said, if an angel does it, he said, even if myself, Paul, tomorrow I turn around and I start preaching something different from that thing which you had when you were born again. He said, let that person be. And he did what we thought no Christian should do. He did say, may the Lord forgive that person. He said, let that person be what? Is there anybody sitting here and your Christianity now is now a grade more complex? You've started climbing seven mountains. No more quiet time is necessary. Ordinary praying and watching is no longer necessary to you. You are now too advanced. You have a higher knowledge of Christ now. You don't really need to watch and pray anymore. Or your Bible has been replaced with Christian books. No, he said the way that you receive Jesus, walk in Jesus that way. Do we understand? Do we understand? We have to return to the simplicity of Christ. The Christ that we serve was simple. His love is not complicated. He just loves you. And he gave his life for us. 7. Be rooted and built up in Jesus. Be established in faith as you have been taught. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. That's what we've been talking about all morning, right? Jesus! Jesus, we can't say it enough. I was joking a few weeks ago that if I was the Pope, if truly there was a Pope, there's none. If there was a position of papacy in Christianity, I will shut down every church and say for the next 3 years, I don't want to hear any sermon about any other thing except Jesus. Because we have to return to put the focus on him. We have to return. There's too much personal magisteria by mortal men who die and leave us behind. They write fantastic books, but their books do not give us life. But Jesus has never forsaken us. I think we have to reestablish the focus on Christ our Redeemer. Okay, eight. We'll continue this next week, but I just want to lay the foundation. And we're going to get to what is happening, why Jesus has to be the foundation, and how it relates to everything that is going on in our culture, in history right now, right? He said, beware, don't let anybody cheat you. We talked about a basic, for in Christ, what? The fullness of, including the Spirit and the Father. And I think we've recited, Philip came to the Lord one day and said, you've been preaching for 3 years, we followed, we saw all your miracles. You know what? Just look, you're speaking to many, just show us the Father and we'll be okay. Stop speaking in parables. Show us the Father. And what did Jesus say to Philip? What was Jesus essentially saying? He actually said that to him. He did not say, don't worry, I'll come back and then one day I will introduce you to him. He said, when you focus on me, if you are Christocentric, the fullness of the Godhead, you will see the Spirit and the Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to take 3 more minutes. Just foundation. In Jesus, everybody please repeat after me. In Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. I have a question for you, congregation. Why did he say bodily? I don't know what the other translations say, but my majestic New King James says bodily. And that's my line and I'm sticking to it. Sister Lala. Thank you. Bodily. And I like that word. Another translation. We're going to close on this. And we've not touched on the broader topic. But if all we live with today is Christ is the head, and we have to refocus your Christian walk on Jesus, I think it's worth just repeating this. You see that Jesus that died on the cross, that man, everything you need to know about the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, just study him. You want to know how God talks? Study him. You want to know how to follow God? Follow Jesus. You want to know the mind of God? Read everything that he has ever written. When people say his words are not sufficient for some things, I just laugh. Then I ask them specifically about some things that Christ said and they can't tell me. If you want to know how to throw a party, ask yourself, how will Jesus throw a party? If you want to know how to marry, ask yourself, what did Jesus say about marriage? If you want to know, did Jesus say anything about how to eat? About eating? Did Jesus show us how God would, God's attitude at eating? I'm asking, it's not rhetorical. I'm actually asking. Who can tell me what Jesus, there might be a lot of things, but something that comes to your mind, if you want to know, you have a meal before you, and I've given you a clue, and you want to know how God will behave, he'll give thanks. So people say, but there's something. How about clothes? Did Jesus say anything about clothes? What? What? He said, don't worry about clothes. Buy whatever it is on the shelf. It doesn't matter what the branding is. Your life is more than the clothes that you wear. He had something to say about everything. What else? Please give me. Give me a topic that Jesus did not tell us what. Following Jesus will not give us an idea of what God would want. Please, please. We're going to close soon. You're going to stay here longer if you're not telling me. What to do in April? Taxes, April, tax time. Did You call your accountant. Did you call Jesus or look into his word to see how God will put his taxes together? It's there. Just show me. What was the question there? Give to Caesar. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So the Lord gave direction. God, bodily, we are trying to get a revelation from above. An angel, Gabriel, will come and show us a written. Look at Jesus. That's why a lot of our prayers are not answered. Because a lot of our prayers are answered by obedience to scriptures. And God has written us a book of manuals that if you took your time to study, you will almost instinctively know the mind of God about things. But the truth is, we are not really looking when we are praying. We are really, really looking for God to give us our heart's desire. We are looking to validate how. Because I would imagine if I wanted to know what my company policy is about something, I will call HR and let them know. Please, what does it say? I won't say I'm waiting for the CEO to come and tell me. Have you taken the time to study Jesus? False teaching. Jesus has had a lot to tell us about false teaching. Attitude, diligence, how to, even our parents. Jesus told us our attitude towards giving to our parents and those around us. The pastors of this world, sorry, I beg you. It's not you I'm talking about. You know, Brabumi, I'm not talking about you people. Tikemi, sorry, I'm not talking about you people. But the pastors of this world, they will tell us to come first, come and give to them. And give that when you have given to us and you have given into that tithe, you have given to God. But what did Jesus say about giving? When are you giving? What does the Bible say about giving to Jesus? Yeah? I'm sorry. I said, well, Jesus did not say that one. What did Jesus bodily when he was alive? He left a world that counsels. If you don't understand the prophets, if you don't understand the apostles, you will understand what Jesus said. He said, what you have given to the least of the brethren, that is what you have given to me. So I want you to now calculate in your head how many you have put giving to the least of the brethren in the last 1 year versus the one that you have given towards the church building fund. Bodily. The reason Christ came was that through Moses, right, we could not have access to God. Then God came in human form, bodily. So that finally, he was called the Son of Man. Finally, we no longer just have ordinances and laws. Now we had a man to follow. He suffered every, all your, what are you suffering that Jesus never suffered? What? Before Jesus, we could say, God doesn't know how I'm feeling. Since Jesus, none of us can complain of anything. Is it death that you suffer? Is it weariness and sickness that Jesus has not suffered? Is it disappointment and being hated by his own people that you suffered? Is it feeling neglected by the Father? My God, why have you forsaken me? Is it crying that you are crying that Christ has never wept? The Bible says Jesus wept. What is it? You have a brother and a savior that bodily represents the love of God for us. And we can follow him. Let us follow him diligently. Let us go back to God's word. Let us rediscover the love that Jesus has for us. 1 John 2:20. 1 John 2:27, they say similar things. When I was a younger Christian, this word entered my heart and never forgot as a student. Because I was always confused in Bible studies. This man says this. Another man says this. This book says this. And I grew up in a Christian world. There was a lot of debate about everything. Separate Pentecostalism, faith movement, law, all of that. Then I heard John. He said, you need not that any man teach you anything. But the same unction that you have received, the same will teach you all things. What he told me is, so it's possible for a person like me, once a drunkard and a smoker and a womanizer, to actually understand the Bible. In fact, it reassured me that that's exactly what God wants, to be my head, that he loves me, that I've not just been persuaded that he's Lord, he has made me a child. That changed my attitude. It helped me to accost God's word with some confidence. And I appeal, and I just commend you to take some time and personally know Jesus. Rediscover your Jesus for yourself. Open the Word is a love letter to you personally. You will find in it the writing of Jesus Christ to you. May the Lord bless us and help us. And may he establish us blameless until he comes. I know there will be suffering. We can't pray it away. But I know that our sorrow may abide the night. But in Christ, that morning we've been waiting for it. Not only you. The whole of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I don't mean to go ecclesiastical or go King James on you. But it's true. The best Christians suffer the most. It's been the history of mankind losing their spouses, losing their children. Christian women, Christian, poor Christian, poor people at the mercy of unbelievers. It will continue like that till Jesus comes. It's not all Christians that enjoy the benefits that you and I enjoy. It looks also to me, I spoke to a missionary couple this week that said, it looks as though the more we serve the law, the more we are punished. And it's true. And we discover it's like that in the Bible. We read the story of Abraham. We say, Abraham's blessings are mine. Would Abraham's barrenness also be yours? We read the story of Joseph and say, he will make us the head in Egypt. Are you ready to do your time in prison as well? Or as a slave? Do you know the agonies of a Joseph at the bottom of that pit? Do you know he sincerely thought he was going to be buried alive? All of God's, even the Lord Jesus Christ, my God, why have you? So if you are going through strange things, just remember your brothers. It's God has designed it that out of all of these troubles, we will inherit the kingdom. Be encouraged. You are not alone. Your Bible is more true. Your story is more true in the Bible than the alternate stories that they are telling us today. That when you claim it, name it, you will claim it. I don't know. You want to be David. Are you also ready to be chased by the government left, right, and center for years? And then your only friends are bandits and thieves. Are you ready to have your son sleep with your concubines, don't keep concubines, on the rooftop and embarrass you and chase you? You see, we always tell the nice part, but all of our heroes, they also went through this. Hold on. The kingdom, blessed are those who mourn, because in Jesus they'll be comforted. May the Lord help us to hold on. I know I've passed time. Sister Shade, you're taking time to look at the clock. Eh? Let us say the grace. Just stand up. Oh, we have communion. Let us pray. Rise. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord. Your word gives light and understanding to the simple. We just lay ourselves bare, Lord. There's no performativeness here. Touch us as little children, Lord. Teach us your ways. You said that money, how did the Lord put this? Like money does something and wisdom does something, but the excellence of wisdom is that it gives life. Well, what's the passage? Money, I forget it. Anyway, money is a blessing and also wisdom is a blessing. But wisdom, knowledge is superior because it gives life. Father, please give us wisdom. When it doesn't make sense, give us the wisdom to stand and hope until we see you, to believe in our hearts. Reveal your son to us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that Satan may strip anything from us. Please do not let Satan strip your love from our lives in Jesus' name, so that we'll rejoice with all the saints on that day. Help us to hold on, because we have seen this truth and we so want to hold on to it, Lord. We have seen it. We know that it's not going to be true for everybody. But because you have opened our eyes to see, let our heart desire it more than gold, more than silver, more than riches, to desire your kingdom. Help us to stand. Help us not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, O God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Our communion.
Yeah. Please, will you help? Please, let's sit down. We're not done yet. There's one sacrament that the Lord Jesus Christ left us, which he said that as often as we do it in remembrance of him. That sacrament...